Good evening. Tonight I want to talk about something that we as human beings are not capable of grasping the fullness of. It's something that is beyond our imagination. But at the same time, we are all quite capable of knowing in our own level of understanding the realness of this unearthly concept. In other words, God has given us enough knowledge to understand what we need to believe about Him. And I want to talk a little bit about the majesty and power of God. And I'm going to have a few illustrations tonight that I'm sure most everyone has seen, but I know that there are some that hasn't. And by the time I step off this platform, I hope that we all would have a better understanding of how great our God really is. And you know, it's easy to say God is great, but it's another thing to know how great God is, because it shows in how you live. Yeah. Roughly about 6,000 years ago, when there was nothing, the earth was without form and void, God created everything. In only 6 days, He formed every living and creeping thing on the earth. Everything in 6 literal days. We all know the account. Day 1, He created the light. Day 2, the atmosphere. Day 3, the dry land. Day 4, the planets, the galaxies, the 4 seasons, and the stars. Day 5, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. Day 6, the land animals and man. And on day 7, He rested. He had finished His creation in 6 24-hour days. God now had a masterpiece of His own. And now He could show His glory and His He could show His glory and power to its fullest extent. The Bible says, "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good." God was happy. God looked down the earth and saw beauty, peace, love, and unity. And He said it was very good. He saw a faithful man tending the garden. He saw unity and friendship in the animal realm. He saw His creation working in unison, everything in line with its maker.
Right.
And we don't know how long it was before God decided that Adam needed a helpmeet, but He gave her to him, and now God really had the beauty and unity that was missing. Now it's perfect. Now there could be a human race, generations and generations, that can now walk with the Lord like Adam. Well, life went on, and we don't know how long it was, but it couldn't have been very long. Maybe the beauty began to get a little too familiar to the Adam family. But one day, the darkest day in history, Adam and Eve sinned. Man had dropped the ball, but God didn't forsake His promises. He was up to par with His creation in every way. But God had a response for Adam and Eve, for what Adam and Eve did. He cursed the earth. He cursed everything He had made, and death was instituted. Everything in the earth was marred by the fall. Everything thanks to Adam fell when God cursed it. Imagine what beauty there would have been before the fall. Before the fall, God looked down on it and said it was very good. Today we look around us and we look in awe at the beauty and we are blown away by the vastness of our Creator. God saw Himself magnified in what He created when it was perfect. Now it's nothing compared to that glory. Everything fell. But there will come a time when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess the magnificence of their Creator. He will be glorified one way or another because He will not be mocked.
Amen.
Romans 8:22, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." But I believe that still, even when cursed, there is something that shows the absolute power of God, and that is the heavens. What I want to talk for a little bit is the heavens declare. Psalms 19:1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." There is nothing in nature that can more clearly show the power and might of God as in the heavens. This is one of the clearest biblical statements that nature itself is meant to show the greatness of God. These words are in the present tense. That is, the heavens are declaring and the sky is proclaiming the creative work of God. It's a continual display. What we see in nature is meant to constantly show us that God exists and tell us how amazing a creator He truly is. Psalms 33:6, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth." Amos 5:8, "Seek Him that maketh the 7 stars and Orion. The Lord is His name." God made the heavens on the 4th day, the sun, the moon, the stars, galaxies, all of it. And He said it was very good. And as I do these illustrations, I want you to remember that God, it didn't take God thousands of years in a chemist's lab. God just spoke the word.
Yes.
He said, let there be, and there was. We all know the account of Him creating the firmament. Genesis 1:14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And in the evening and the morning were the fourth day. We live on the earth, one of the nine planets of our solar system. And here is a small model of it. I have with me a globe. There we go. Okay. This is a very small model of the earth we live in. Now we live in that area. We live right... This is going to be important in a minute. I'm trying to figure out how this pen works. Okay. Right there. I was strictly forbidden to write on it, so I can't write on it. But anyway, we're right in that area somewhere. But set this up here. That's actually going to be important in a minute if I can get there. Okay, now what I'm going to show you is a few charts of some celestial bodies, which are planets, stars, planets and stars. These are size comparisons of celestial bodies. Now, these size comparisons will change your perspective regarding our Creator and His creation, or it should, and might change your perspective regarding our significance in the universe. My first chart has the biggest planet in order, as of yet. Right there we have the Earth, Venus, Mars, Mercury, and Pluto. I'm not sure if you can see that or not, but and right now the Earth is at the top of the scale. He's the biggest guy right now. The king of our solar system. Ruler of not only the sky and the sea and earth, and not only the top of the on the planet's chart right now, but also the ruler of the universe. Just think of it. Well, the Earth proudly introduces the next chart. Of course, assuming that it is all powerful, nobody can beat it. And there we have Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune. Subjects of the Earth. Wait, hold on a minute. The Earth is down here. The Earth shrunk. It's now the size of a marble. There's got to be a mistake. No, sorry. God don't make mistakes. Jupiter is now at the top. My chart number 3 introduces the Sun. It's just a bright star to keep us warm. No. It is shrunk Jupiter to the size of a dime, and the Sun the size of a soccer ball. And the Earth is the size of that dot on the globe I didn't draw. Still feeling big? God created in only one day. One day. There is no power on Earth that can do that. Moving right along to chart 4. Now we're hitting stars. We come to Arcturus, Pollux, and Sirius. I'm not sure if that's how you say it, but that's how I say it. Arcturus looks like it's in a tight race with the... Where'd the sun go? The sun is now the size of a pea. And Arcturus is about the size of the radius of a CD. You can see it. And Jupiter is the size of one pixel. I'm sure everybody, most people know what that is. And the Earth at this scale is invisible. It's getting a little scary. Pete, you can hold on for one more. We have Antares, Betelgeuse, Aldebaran, and Rigel. Antares, at this scale, is about the size of a cantaloupe. And Arcturus is about the size of the head of a 16-penny nail, this one. And the sun, at this scale, is one pixel, while Jupiter is invisible. Antares, which is the biggest one I could find, is the 15th brightest star in the sky. It is more than 1,000 light years away. Think of these giant stars God created. We can't even grasp how massive and big they are. This is probably going to sound like a stupid question, but how many stars are there in the nighttime sky? Well, no one has an exact count. Needless to say, the numbers are astronomical, literally. Estimates are 400 to 600 billion stars in our own galaxy, the Milky Way.
You can go above if you want.
There's our Milky Way. That's where we live. That's where the Earth is. That's a Hubble telescope image of the spiral galaxy, the Milky Way. And that brings me to my next question. How many galaxies are there? Catalogs of galaxies in the Hubble Deep Field list about 3,000 galaxies in one patch of the sky. That big. And that's a Hubble Deep Survey of spiral and elliptic galaxies. About 27 million views this size are needed to cover the whole sky. So that is a rough estimate of 3,000 galaxies in one patch times 27 million patches. That equals 81 billion galaxies out there that we can see with that they can see with Hubble telescope. Many estimate that number to be low. Some increase it to 110 billion, but we're just sticking with 81 billion. So let's do a little math. If we take 81 billion galaxies times 400 billion stars per galaxy, I wasn't sure what to call this number, so I had to label it, put it down there. But that's not the worst part of it. It gets worse because that is not even right. Recent estimates show higher numbers and put it at twice that. Again, number I'm not familiar with. I said the numbers were astronomical. Most astronomers, and I believe, think the number is infinite. I think you would have better luck counting the grains of sand on a beach. Because there is 10 times as many stars as there are grains of sand on all the world's beaches and deserts put together. And I got this off, you know, interesting places. But, and that's just an estimate of the stars Hubble might be able to see, because their light gets to Earth. NASA now alleges there are zillions of uncountable stars. So, about how insignificant do we feel now? But another thought. We all know and believe that God is the creator of the vast universe we've been talking about. Now, how big do you think he is? God has the ultimate power and strength to crush us all. He has all authority to send us all to hell, and yet he holds back. Why? Even as God holds that universe in his hands, even while he keeps the planets light years apart to keep from collisions, even while he keeps the sun at a perfect distance, not too far and yet not too near, he can control the way the earth spins, he can control the weather, the oceans, the seas, the natural disasters, earthquakes, tsunamis, tornadoes, droughts. He also can control the forces of evil. And while doing all that, and what we've talked about, he still has the time and mercy to listen to a repentant sinner. He has the grace and love to reach out to this lost and dying world.
Amen.
He still, while keeping everything from just caving in, gives us the courage and strength to walk on the narrow road
Yes.
so we can go to heaven.
Yeah.
As a consequence for our sins, we have a debt to pay. Hell, for eternity, is the price for a lifetime of sin unrepented of. And if we live our life treading on Christ's shed blood just to get our own way, then that's what we can expect, hell. And there you can find out that God created more things than just a nice earth. But you know, even though God has a lot on his mind, even though you were involved in killing his son in your own heart, he still has an open ear for true repentance. I wonder if we're giving him all the glory he is due. 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. You know, thinking of all that, who do we think we are? You know, it reminds me of what Nathan just talked about this morning. You know, many people are so worried about receiving love, they don't care to give love. True love. And yet, God showed the greatest love a man could show on Calvary for them. Came down to his creation. What he made. What he created. Mankind as a whole is ripe for judgment. For the invisible things of him, Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Then at the end it says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And then right above that, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And we talked about this a little earlier, but you know, after we talked about the stars, the planets, everything God made, I'm sure we were all kind of shocked at how big those celestial planets were. We can only fathom the vastness of his creation. We can't fathom that God in just a day made such magnificence. You mean bring up something that is hard to understand too? That same God is willing to be man's best friend. When he sees repentance, there is love and compassion in his heart. And you think of what mankind has done to the God of the universe. Makes me wonder why God hasn't turned this world into judgment now. Why God hasn't burned up this world and started anew with something beautiful, peaceful, with unity. It is the love of God, the same love that he showed on Calvary. And to make it known, God is going to come and burn up this world and catch away his bride and throw the chaff into unquenchable fire.
Yes.
What part will we be of? The bride or said chaff? Psalms 8:3-9. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him?
Yes.
And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and crownest him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea, O Lord our God, How excellent is thy name in all the earth. The Lord reigneth. The Lord, let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgments are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlightened the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserved the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Thank you.